What is going on today? We have an exciting show, as always, like I always say, for you guys today. I'm pretty excited to be here, as always. First minute of the show, I'm just letting more people join the live stream. If you're watching this on social media, please make sure you like, subscribe, follow, share, comment, do all that stuff. Today, we have not one, but two breaking news stories, and they are both doozies. So you may want to share this out because I didn't even have time to write articles on them yet. That's how breaking news they are. And yeah, so it's going to be exciting. But here's the intro, as always, that you guys love to hear. Freight broker. Freight broker. Freight broker. Music. All right, so there's the intro that everybody loves or that you hate. I don't care. You're here watching the show, so whatever. So today we've got some breaking news. Today is January 28th. It is 2:01 Eastern time. We've got some breaking news, as I've said like six times. So the first one we've got is about a TMS service that is offering a new product within their TMS. And it is cutting edge, and they are the only ones to do it. So that is crazy. And then we've got something new with the government that we're going to talk about. And it's not really new, but it's just the enforcement's back up. Reportedly, I haven't found anything to independently verify that other than one bozo talking about it. And I don't mean to say bozo, but, you know, if you know who he is, then you know what I'm talking about. But it's pretty interesting. And then I've got some other news stories, and then we'll just go right back into the conversation. So let me explain a little bit on how the show works. And just for the new viewers, I talk about freight. I've been working in the industry for a long time. So I give opinions, news, all sorts of other stuff based on my experiences in the transportation industry as a broker, as a carrier, as a shipper, as a fleet owner, as whatever. If you're watching this on Facebook, please make sure you like, subscribe, follow, double like, follow, whatever the terms are. But make sure right now you share this to other logistics groups because I can't share to as many as I want without getting booted. If you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure you like, hit a bell, follow, comment, do whatever you got to do on YouTube so it starts to get some views. And then we've also got Periscope and Twitch, and it's streaming live on freightbrokerlive.com and all sorts of other places. As of Monday, not yesterday, but next Monday, it will be live streaming on Roku and hopefully other smart devices at that time. But Roku channel is up. I just got to keep adding content to it to get it ready. All right, without further ado, so we have our breaking news. Anyway, so our breaking news is, now this is pretty legendary. So at Ascend TMS, you guys know who they are. I refer them to everybody anyway. They're a great TMS, great starter TMS, and beyond. They have a lot of functionality. Well, they have decided, I don't know why they do all this stuff to continue making their TMS system even better. Now they are going to be the first TMS provider out of all TMS systems, and you know how many there are, to offer in TMS truck parking reservations through an agreement with Truck Park. Now, if you don't know who Truck Park is, Truck Park is a technology provider where they essentially have paid parking locations at a lot of different truck stops and different parking areas. Now, you may be saying, well, paid parking, you know me, I'm not a big fan of the paid parking thing, but with ELDs and hours of service and the current state of affairs, there needs to be a software solution to help people find parking, whether it's paid or free or what. So Ascend TMS, because they want to continue being one of the best, you know, TMS systems with a dollar EDI and all the functionality they have and tracking applications and just the carrier dashboard, the broker dashboard. So they've decided, hey, offering all that stuff for $50 a month isn't enough. So what we're going to do is we're going to add truck parking. So now a broker that has this turned on, I don't know how it's going to work there, but now a broker that is trying to sell a load, let's say that they try to sell a load to Joe Blow's carrier and the carrier can't move, or and he's like, I don't want to do it. There's no parking up in that area. Well, the broker can go, well, there is parking in that area because we can reserve a parking spot and pay for it. Truck dispatchers that use Ascend for all their technology, you know, their truck dispatching and back office paperwork and driver payables and all that stuff, if the calculations, Ascend does it all. Obviously, you guys know that. And if you didn't, boom, now you're getting some cardinal knowledge. But they can also book parking spots for their drivers all inside the Ascend TMS system. Now, that's pretty gnarly. That is, it's just something that I don't know why anyone else hasn't thought of it, but I'm glad Ascend is, because Ascend has the most affordable TMS system and it's super easy to use, and their technical support is or their training systems for it are very on point, which is why I think it's an awesome system. And anyone that needs a TMS system, you should be looking at Ascend. Now, there is a link on my website to go to Ascend. There will be an article that I write about this later. It's probably one of the cooler tech advancements in the transportation management software field that I've seen in a very long time, because it allows brokers and carriers and to find parking for drivers as needed and pay for it all throughout the TMS system. It's pretty crazy, to be honest, because nobody else has done it. It's cutting edge. Second big news story. And this, again, I haven't been able to independently verify, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say it anyway, because I think it's relatively important. So you guys know that little pesky filing called the UCR, that if you're a single truck operator, costs you about $62 for the year, or $72 or something. Well, it was suspended. Enforcement was suspended up until, I believe it was March 1st, because of some data breach they had last March, and, you know, 30,000 people who filed for their authorities had their EIN numbers exposed. Long story short, so the suspension of the enforcement was suspended, I believe, until March 1st. I could be wrong on that. That's why I have to do some fact checking first. But they voted on it today. They voted to pass it. So now, effective May 1st, they will be enforcing UCR registration. Now, hold on, because I know a bunch of you guys, because brokers need to register with the UCR, so do carriers. So it's something everybody that runs interstate is going to have to file. It's a unified carrier regulation, whatever it is. I don't care. Well, I do. That's why I'm talking about it. But the reason why it's important is because, you know, when you file for your authority and you get bombarded with all these official looking documents that aren't really official, and they try to scare you into signing up and file their UCR for $190 plus the actual filing fees, and they're just ripping you off. Well, I can almost guarantee that there is several companies right now that are running to the post office to send out all these notifications. I can guarantee tomorrow morning when I check my email, I'm going to have, if I don't already, because they all go to spam, I'm going to have notice after notice after notice that UCR, you have to file your UCR, you're going to get penalized if you don't, blah, 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 come sign up with us and pay a bunch of money that you don't need to. And the problem with this that I find is the biggest proponent of these scammy things, the people that are doing these UCR filings, when you could easily go to UCR.gov and do the filing yourself. You just put in your DOT number, boom, register your trucks, and boom, pay whatever they tell you to pay. The more trucks you have, the more expensive it is, clearly. But the people that benefit the most from taking the action of sending out all these mailers and getting people to sign up are the same people that run all these online whatever you would call them, programs or consulting or coalitions, and it's scammy. But UCR, they will be enforcing it. From what I've read, I have to wait to verify it before I actually put it in print and write an article for it. But from what I've read, they will be enforcing the UCR effective May 1st. Wait, like, even if you go to UCR.gov right now, it still says no, enforcement is delayed. So they haven't even updated. Apparently it was voted this morning in the Congress or Senate or rules or whatever. The board, the transportation board, is the one who voted on it and said that they will begin enforcement May 1st. So I would just keep up going to UCR.gov several times, you know, a week until it's active and then register your company. Do not use any of the private services because you're just losing money. That's silly and you shouldn't be losing any money. Anyway, so we had those two breaking news stories. They're both important stories. Ascent TMS offers a driver parking inside their system where you could book driver parking within their system. That is pretty legendary if you ask me. I'm someone that's super involved in freight tech. I think it's awesome and I always want to be a part of it. So when I heard about this, I was really excited about it. I think it's something that will blow off and a lot of people, brokers can use it as a tool to sell loads and carriers can use it as a tool to keep their drivers happy. So it's very, very interesting. You can click on the link on my webpage, which is freightbrokerlive.com. You can click on the link there and you'll head over to a landing page you could sign up with them. It's pretty rad. So I wrote an article January 25th. What was that? 3 days ago about a trucker's estate sues the, Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel after the husband, that's who the estate's for. The husband apparently got blown off of the bridge. So I wrote the article. So they're suing basically saying that the bridge lowered it from a level 4. So if any of you guys don't know, let me backtrack a little bit. The Chesapeake Bay Bridge is in Delaware. It's a very long, very treacherous, very scary bridge for someone that doesn't like going over bridges like me, because I don't. It's a very windy bridge. So they have 4 levels and they allow trucks on level 1. So level 1 means that gusts are under 45 miles an hour. You're allowed to go if you have a dry van, as long as you're loaded, blah, blah, blah. There's all these different steps, which I'm not going to cover in this. Level 2, the truck has to weigh over 35,000 pounds. The freight can't be loose. You can't have tarps. You can have regular flatbed freight or something like that, but it keeps going on. Oh, it's in Virginia. Well, yeah, it goes from Delaware to Virginia, I think, doesn't it? Anyway. It's this very long, very treacherous bridge that I always hated going over. And I went over it quite a few times. I'm not a big fan of any bridge, let alone heavy, scary bridges. So we went over it. This guy, apparently, he's driving along it. It was under a level 4 wind restriction. So a level 4 restriction all morning from 7 a.m. until 12:01. Level 4 means, hey, this bridge has winds that will throw a truck off of the bridge. So they normally close it down. Well, apparently at 12:01, they lowered the restriction from level 4 to level 1. This driver, I forget what his name is, Joseph Chen, 47. He was a driver for Evans Seafood Company, was heading back to North Carolina for his next load. So he had a trailer full of empty pallets from delivering seafood previously. And he went over the bridge. And what the estate is saying is that he went over the bridge because the wind gust took him. But they went a step further and said the response vehicles didn't have the resources to go get this. Because get this, he went over the bridge, crashed, exited his truck, and was still alive. And he must have been holding onto his truck or something. He was in the water, and this was in February of 2017. So the water was very cold, but he went into the water and didn't, and they couldn't rescue him. He was in the water, I think it was for an hour. Let me see if I can find these times here. He went into the water early, 12:15. He began crossing at 12:15. He went over at 12:21. They didn't rescue him until after 1 o'clock. They couldn't send in boats because the wind was too bad. Go figure that one. They said, okay, we could send a tractor trailer over the bridge to crash, but we can't send a boat in the water to rescue you. They didn't have the life tubes and all that, or they had them apparently, but they chose not to use them. The wind was taking the truck too far away, so it wasn't reaching them. Long story short, he was rescued by the Navy, by a Navy helicopter 40 minutes after his truck hit the water, and he died on the way from hypothermia. So he died on the way from when they rescued him to the 7 minutes it took him to get him to the hospital. He passed away. So his estate is suing, saying, hey, you guys should have, one, never changed the level 4 restriction, because the wind gusts up until, and they're read by the bridge, so they have their reports of it, they were read up to 45 miles an hour right before they lowered the restriction. So I think that was a major issue. And there was another report by the police that when they finished their preliminary investigation said that he didn't actually get blown off of the bridge, that he went to pass someone and excel and overcorrected, which we've heard a lot about in news recently, but he overcorrected and he went over the side and then everything else happened the same. Nonetheless, this family is probably going to get the money. They are suing. The lawsuit demands $6 million judgment, alleging that CBBT District was negligent when it reduced the level 4 restriction down to a level 1 the day of the accident, and negligent that they didn't provide life-saving measures or adequate life-saving measures. A 4-day jury trial is scheduled for July 14th through 17th this year. So that's pretty sad, man. I mean, he was a 47-year-old just driving, trucking along, and whatever that, whether he overcorrected, whatever he did. Don Fuller said it's a 17-mile bridge from Virginia to Maryland. Okay, so I had the states wrong. Whatever. But I've been over it, and it's scary as crap. And I do not like, I don't like bridges. I go over the GW, and I get all nervous. I'm not just not a big bridge fan. In additional news, this is one I wrote, I believe, this morning. A trooper was involved. Yeah, I wrote this morning. A trooper was involved in a shooting while conducting a random truck inspection in North Carolina. So apparently yesterday, right around 5:35, a state trooper, North Carolina state trooper, had pulled over a commercial vehicle and was doing a level one random inspection. And another random guy, just someone that wasn't involved in the accident or wasn't involved in the inspection, wasn't the truck driver, wasn't anybody, ended up ended up interfering, and he was armed apparently. So the officer reportedly yelled for him to stop. He was disobeying commands. The officer fired. The guy was wounded. I was unable to find out pretty much anything else. It just says that the truck driver was not wounded and was eventually let go. The trooper was unharmed. So I don't know what happened or what the, it sounds like a suicide by cop type thing, unfortunately, but it's pretty sad. You know, I just think it's relevant because of this next story. So as we know, as I wrote yesterday and pretty much everyone else wrote, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, or CVSA, has announced the dates of the focus and the focus of the 2020 International Road Check, or Driver Blitz, whatever you want to call it. So they announced yesterday that the International Road Check will take place May 5th through 7th and will be focusing on the driver. So they're going to focus on logbooks. They're going to focus on CDLs. They're going to focus on all the same stuff that they pretty much always do, in my opinion. They just did it in New Hampshire, which is the next story I'm going to do, where they they got a lot of people. They got a lot of stupid people. But so they're going to check CDL status, whether drivers have medical cards, ELD enforcement and proper documentation. Obviously, they're going to check the same stuff. And it was interesting because a lot of people last year took the week off, took the couple of days off and didn't even drive because the CVSA announces when they're going to do it. And so a lot of drivers take the day off. Sergeant Samus, who is a sergeant with the Delaware State Police, but he's also the CVSA president, which I think is kind of crap because the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance. So you would think that they're, you know, trying to represent safety in commercial vehicles and blah, blah, blah. But they are, their members and their president are DOT officers who directly stand for the enforcement or stand to profit because of the enforcement. It's kind of, seems kind of weird to me. You would think it would be private entities that actually just care about making trucking better and making it a safer field, not necessarily doing something that is going to, you know, make them a tremendous amount of money because of all the fines and violations that they're going to see. But what am I? I'm not a politician, so I don't know. But he said, with last year's federal electronic logging device full compliance mandate in the U.S., the alliance decided that this year's International Road Check would be the perfect opportunity to revisit all aspects of roadside inspection driver requirements, said CVSA President Sergeant John Samus with the Delaware State Police. We're aware that some drivers opt to stay off the roadways during these 3 days of International Road Check, although there certainly is an increase in the number of inspections conducted during the International Road Check or Blitz. It's important to remember that inspections are conducted every day of the year. Inspectors will be inspecting commercial vehicles the day before the International Road Check starts and the day after, and every day of the year. It's just, it's kind of crazy. And New Hampshire, and take, And to expand on that further, so New Hampshire did a one-day enforcement blitz focused on commercial vehicles by the New Hampshire State Police, and it ended up with 36 trucks and or drivers placed out of service. So this is pretty crazy. They inspected 128 motor vehicles, finding 210 violations. In total, 18 vehicles were placed out of service for safety violations. Six drivers were placed out of service for violations, including not possessing medical cards, not maintaining records of driving hours, and not holding the proper class of driver's license. Troopers issued 20 citations as a result of commercial vehicle inspections. They also issued 2 CVSA decals to people that passed level 1 inspections. 2 out of 128 commercial inspections. It's insane. Here's a couple of highlights from their inspections. In Wakefield, a trooper stopped a 2014 Western Star pulling a 2015 trailer for speeding on Route 16 in Wakefield, New Hampshire. As a result of the commercial vehicle inspection, Skelly, the officer there, the trooper, discovered that the driver was not wearing a seatbelt as it was broken. The trailer did not have proof of periodic inspection, and the vehicle was operating at 100,600 pounds. So 20,600 pounds overweight. The driver was placed out of service for failing to have corrective lenses. So he wasn't even wearing corrective lenses when he has that on his CDL. Silly. In Hampton, New Hampshire, which is beautiful. We used to ride our motorcycles there when I lived in New Hampshire. We'd ride from Keene all the way over to Hampton, and it sucked. But once you got there, it was nice. Sergeant Kenneth Phoenix stopped a 2014 Kenworth with a 2008 trailer on Interstate 95. During the inspection, Phoenix discovered that the truck had window tinting that only allowed 5% of light to pass through it. It had 3 brakes that were out of adjustment. One of the brake linings was so worn that it was insufficient, and the truck was unable to maintain air pressure due to a leak in the brake systems airlines. The vehicle was placed out of service. There was another one I read that, oh, here it is. This was a good one. Frank Campo, that's the officer there, the trooper, stopped a 2018 Freightliner operating on Interstate 95. The vehicle was found to be operating in a violation of the FMCSA out of service order. So he was already put out of service, yet he was driving anyway. And the driver did not even have a CDL. Like, he was put out of service and the vehicle was towed. It's just people are crazy. Yeah. And then there was a truck accident. So they said, hey, let's just do a vehicle inspection on this Mack tractor that took down a light post. But again, that's what happens. It's just, it is what it is. And then our last article, which was just filler, because who really cares? But XPO Logistics announced this month that it's exploring the sale of its spinoff of a spinoff. Of up to 4 of its business units while holding on to its North American less-than-truckload business. So we all remember XPO has been buying companies every year. They bought Conway last year, which is that LTL business. And now apparently they realize that's the only one that's making money and they want to sell off everything else. Good luck to them. Don't really care about it. I just needed a filler story, but I ended up talking longer. So I don't really know what topic to talk about today. My phone number, if you guys are interested in calling into the show, I think it actually works today. So my phone number is 914-803-4008. You can call in. We'll talk about whatever you want. Talk about freight. Talk about whatever. Yeah. So let me read some of these comments. We got a bunch of hellos on YouTube. We got Toe Piglet says, hey. Right Lane that says, hey. Don says, hey. And Microlithics on YouTube as well. So, and then we just got comments about New Hampshire. New Hampshire, the Free State Project. I lived in New Hampshire. I love New Hampshire. It's pretty darn cold all the time. But, you know, it sucks. 128 inspections and 210 violations. That says something. As much as anyone wants to argue about these DOT blitzes and all that crap, when you have that many stops, because I think the other article I wrote about the 72-hour blitz. I think I put it in here. Yeah. So the CVSA points to FMCSA data that shows out of 3,355,425 driver inspections in 2019, 944,794 of those were found to be violations. And 195,545 drivers were placed out of service. So you wonder why people, why drivers are getting pulled in for random inspections, why the CVSA is making all, or CSVA or whatever it is making all this money from all the, all these states are making all this money off of these violations. It's because they have to. Look at it. It's the same reason why we have ELDs. It's the same reason why we have crappy HOS. It's because of this, because of the fact that they could pull over 33.3 million and just under a third of those drivers that are pulled in for inspection are in violation. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Just under 10% of those drivers are put out of service, shouldn't even be on the road in the first place. That's why we have these safety blitzes, people, and they're not going to go away just because you want them to. They have to go away when we pull them up, when they do a safety blitz and they pull in 3 million people and only 195,000 of them are in violation instead of a million, essentially. a third of the people they pull in are in violation. It's insane. It is insane. So my call-in line is active. Anyone wants to call in, 914-803-4008. I don't really have much to talk about today. I've got a bunch of stories I got to write after. Today is the deadlifting day at the gym, so I got to do that. But I don't really have, I got a bunch of stories. Like I said, I got to write the Ascend story about that technology because that's pretty rad. If anyone missed that, because I know a bunch of people jumped in. So Ascend TMS has launched a new product, I guess, a new feature within their system to add to the 5 million other features that all other companies charge. That's the thing you got to remember about Ascend TMS, is they offer for the $50 or whatever it is per month, they offer all these different modules and features that if you go to Mercury Gate or you go to DAT or you go to Trucker Tool, or not Trucker Tools, you go to Truck Stop, you go to all those brands, you're going to pay extra for modules, especially if you go to Mercury Gate and all those big, more expensive ones. They offer all these modules just for the one price, but they added the ability to book truck parking in their TMS system. That's brilliant. I mean, especially with the issues with drivers not being able to find parking anywhere. That's it. To me, it's legendary, you know, but it's just me. What am I? Some guy sits in his house making videos for no reason. It's crazy. Anthony Fowler on Facebook said, I need to start a conversation on shippers loading trailers on time. Yeah, unfortunately, that's probably not the people that watch the show. It's probably not the people loading trailers. You never know. They could be, you know, but I think it's not necessarily a conversation about whether a shipper is loading a trailer on time versus the driver's getting compensated for the time he's waiting at the shipper. And I'm not talking about detention and the crappy detention and all that stuff. I'm talking about actual pay, you know, that makes it, because you guys know how I feel. If you don't, I don't think $35 an hour for a detention rate is sufficient to help anybody do anything. Hell, I went to Burger King, or no, I went to McDonald's a little while ago, not today, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I spent $14 on lunch. And you know how long it took me to eat it? About 5 minutes. But I'm saying the wages have to come up. The accessorial pays have to come up eventually. That's what the conversation needs to be. Anthony, you said, you know, you're talking about trying to get shippers to load quicker. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen, especially as they start evolving and they're using, you know, I wrote the article about the robotics. They're using the little robots to help pick up. Why? Because the robots move quite a bit slower than a person. Anyone that watches that video on the article I wrote, you see, the robot's pretty darn slow, but it's less expensive than having someone in there for $10 an hour to do it. That's why they do it. Because if they could have six robots and one person that's in charge of those robots, they're saving on five different salaries. It becomes the initial cost. It pays for itself quickly. So in order I think the time it takes to load trucks is going to get worse in the next 5-6 years as, you know, technology becomes available to lose them easier. To load these trucks, I was reading comments, but to load the trucks, as that becomes easier for the people that are actually doing it, I think the times are going to come way back down. So it's going to take even longer for them to load a truck, which wouldn't necessarily take them a long time 5 years ago, but we're automating different systems to make it more cost effective for the shipper. And ultimately, the carrier, nobody cares about the carrier. They're not paying the carrier more because the carrier's, I mean, unless you've refused, like I said, get everything in writing first and sit your truck if you have to. Ernesto on YouTube said, these rates are garbage. My truck is parked. He said, not racing to the bottom. Rates are pretty bad. If you were here last year around this time, guess what? They're about the same. It's what happens every year about this point. Rates start taking a dive. I think they were pretty low. This, I would be curious to look, and I should look at what rates were last year versus this year. But I remember last year's around this time is where everyone started tightening their belt. We realized, oh, the great 2018, the great time of rates was coming down. Shippers were mellowing out. Carriers were, you know, having to come back to work because they spent all their newfound money. There was an overabundance of capacity. Rates started diving just like they always do in the early part of quarter one or, you know, Q1 and all that stuff. And rates sit, you know, and rates are low. You know, that's going to be a question that is answered every single day on this show. And I'm always going to have the same answer. Rates are going to come back up. They always do. Are they going to come up like they did in 2018? No, maybe they will, but I don't think so. But I think the expenses are going to go on. I think expenses are going to keep coming up. If any of my agents are watching, there's phone calls. I got to turn off my phone. There you go. But that's the deal with the rates. Anyone want to call in? The phone number is 914-803-4008. I'm just reading on, see if anyone's commenting outside of this platform. So, you know, on the website, I've worked very hard. If you guys haven't seen, I run a little website called freightbrokerlive.com. You should check out that website. It's pretty rad. I've spent a lot of time building it up. You know, we have the Roku app that's out now. So as of next Monday, I'll be live streaming direct to the Roku app as well, not just through these social media platforms. We've got Freight Broker Live TV, which is under the virtual truck stop. So that's where you can watch all the live shows that I'm doing now. Plus, you could scroll down and watch some classics. And it's funny because I actually look the same now because I screwed up when I was trimming my beard and I had to take it off. Unbelievable. We've got the store. So I created a store. It's very basic. You could probably find the stuff for cheaper. But I figured, hey, let's just create a site where everyone can get on and find exactly what they want. You know, flatbed equipment, you know, I'm going to create a broker package where you can get a new broker package from your filing, computers, phones, all that stuff. You could buy it all in one healthy package. And to be honest, you're not going to save any money doing it that way. But I'm just trying to provide a resource. And if people want to do it, the job board, the logistics job board is up now. You can click on logistics jobs, which is right on the main menu. And if you're looking for a job, don't come to the site yet because there are no jobs on it. It just put it up. If you have a job, you're hiring a driver or anything, go ahead and post a job. It's free. It's free to you. It's not free to me, but it's free to you. If you are interested in talking about brokers and want to leave a review, we've got forums open on the page, which are under the virtual truck stop tab. And that is called Trucker's Lounge. And that's forums about brokers. It's forums about factoring companies. It's literally a place for you to vent about stuff. Find out who are good, what brokers are good, what brokers are bad. I'm going to be adding more and more content to it. And hopefully you guys do as well. All that and more at freightbrokerlive.com. So phone number to call in, 914-803-4008. Ernesto said on YouTube, what caused the abnormal rise in rates in 2018? Demand, buddy. Shippers needed to get more freight moved. And, you know, there weren't as many trucks. So rates started coming up. And then everybody started jumping in the fold. And everybody and their brother started buying trucks. This guy included. I got back into trucking at that point. Started buying trucks. Jumped heavy into the brokerage side of things, too, trying to make more money. And we did, and we made more, and I was dispatching, and we had 107 trucks we were dispatching every day. Well, not every day, but we had 107 trucks under contract that we were dispatching every single week. You know, everyone was taking a load, and we were making money. They were making money. Everything was great, and then freight started coming down. Freight rates, the demand slowed because we had this abundance of capacity. And that's the thing that always kills me is when they say there's a driver shortage, this mythical driver shortage, which I say is crap. But yet we have an abundance of capacity. So they say we have too many trucks, but we have a shortage of drivers as well. It's really perplexing if you actually think about it. Because imagine if the ATA says we have 60,000 driver jobs that we need to fill right now. Can you imagine if even half of that, if we had 30,000 more trucks on the road with rates being as low as they are now, what do you think would happen to those trucks? What do you think would happen to the rates? It's just crazy. I never understood that. That, you know, it is what it is. But Ernesto, that's the best the comment that I can give there. Any other comments? Phone number is 914-803-4008. Have a question about getting into the business? Let me know. I know one of my buddies from one of the other channels that makes all these shows and he talks all animated and he's usually live Wednesday night at like 7 or 8 or something. Just, I think he really likes my shows. I know he watches. You know who you are. But I think he just comments all the time and he always brings me up. And of course, as soon as he does, everybody else does. And I have no problem with anybody that feels like it's beneficial to them to lose money paying for some bogus course. If that is your choice, then you go do that. Because I know a lot of people out there do it. And a lot of people call and complain about losing money. And what's ironic is that a lot of people call other people and say, hey, I just got suckered because I paid for this $1,000 broker class. And he's like, oh, well, let me tell you what, I'll give you a discount. You can come to my little special class and I'll do 4 days and $500. Boom, boom, teach you a little bit more. And then I'll make a video and complain about it later. Don't really understand that, but whatever. I think, like I always say, watch the videos, figure out what content is worth it, what content's going to help you be better at whatever you're striving to do, whether it's trucking, whether it's being a broker, whether it's an agent. Absorb all that content, both free. I mean, you can't get an education in the industry completely free. You can't just watch me for 5 years and be like, hey, I learned everything Steve had to say, so now I know exactly how to be a broker. It doesn't work that way. You actually have to work in the industry for a little bit, and you have to pay. It costs money to learn in the industry. Unfortunately, there's just people out there that should not be educating people, in my opinion. And then there's other people out there that aren't necessarily doing the wrong thing, that are just going about it wrong, you know, just being stupid. that's the easiest way to say it. You know, I'm trying to be nice and as diplomatic as I can. Those people though are very quick to not call my show when I'm live on the air, and because the phone number is 914-803-4008, and just talk about freight training and talk about different programs and different things. Nobody wants to do that. They just want to, you know, privately make videos and try to share them only to their group, only to find out that everybody sends me the videos, everybody sees them, and it's what it is. So what I would like to say is that for anyone out there that is looking to take a training course, anyone out there that is looking to learn the industry and wants to figure out the best way to absorb this great industry and be part of it, go ahead and pay for courses. Go ahead and learn. Go ahead and buy books. Books aren't free. You're going to have to pay for them. Go ahead and sit at some weekend boot camp in some hotel parking lot, whatever, wherever it is. Go do those things, because no matter how bad they are and how bad the people presenting them are, there is always, unless they are sitting there like this and not saying anything at all, you will learn something. Whether or not you learn the right way to do it or you learn the wrong way is kind of give or take deciding or depending on who the presenter is. You got people that are preaching insurance fraud, and then you got other preachers. People that are preaching that dispatchers don't need bonds. You got people that are just saying, oh, you spend $1,000 in my course and boom, guess what happens? You're rich. Oh yeah, you want to become a carrier? Well, let's talk about all the costs, but not talk about the insurance costs. And when you finally call a knowledgeable insurance agent like the one down there in the chat. I see you. I'm not saying who it is. Not until Monday. But when you, you know, call a good insurance agent and they're honest with you and they say, hey, listen, we know you've invested a lot of time and a lot of research. And you're like, yeah, man, I thought about it for like 4 hours. I don't even have a truck yet, but I need to get an insurance quote. And then the insurance agent does what their job is to school you on how much it's actually going to cost before they waste all their time getting the quote. And they're like, well, you know, I just wrote a like policy yesterday, right around 18,000 bucks to sign up. But, you know, you're a new carrier, new authority. You're going to have to fork out half of that down or whatever the case may be, depending on your state. And then you're like, well, man, I spent 500 bucks at some weekend camp and they didn't teach me that, or they didn't tell me that insurance was going to be 20,000 bucks a year. Of course they're not, because that's going to delay a lot of people in unpaying their money to take these little boot camps and classes. They're going to say, nope, you can make a lot of money. It takes minimal effort. You're just going to learn. You're going to retain everything. We're going to cram you full of days of knowledge. Granted, the knowledge is there. Okay. You can't dispute that. Most of the people, at least the ones that I see that are still doing it, that's how you could tell if someone's selling a good product, if they're doing it for a long time. The people that I see out there, as much as I don't necessarily agree with them, they're selling something that is helping other people one way or the other. Whether or not you're getting all the information you need in order to make a business decision on whether or not you want to start something, hey, you never know. You're not going to know until you actually take it. Full disclosure, I've never taken any courses by some of these people. Actually, the courses that I've taken, I could say this with 100% honesty, all the courses that I've taken, and because I have, I've taken them because I wanted to make videos where I rip into them because they're all scumbags. But all the takes, all the pictures that I, or all the courses that I've taken, the people that are running them are out of business. They're not teaching courses anymore. They all have to get paid in different ways. And it's just not right. Okay, so if you want to take a weekend course where you're going to be cram stuff, that is absolutely fine. Go into the course knowing that you're not going to get enough to come out of the industry actually knowing enough to survive. And as long as you know that, that's why, you know, I'm talking to someone about trying to think of a way that we can help people and better the industry and try to teach the right people. And we're like, yeah, but we'll just put it, we'll call it the course, the freight school that's not going to teach you shit. Now I got to censor this podcast. God, I did so well. But that's what we'll call it. We'll call it the freight school that'll teach you just enough to think about whether you want to get involved in the industry. Because you're not going to learn enough by you know, watching someone for a day or 2 days or 3 days or even 4 days where they spend each day on a certain topic. But the third day is actually spent talking about some big elaborate pyramid scheme that doesn't work in real life. But whatever. Sorry, I got all hot. I'm like sweating now. I got all amped up. If you're watching this, you know who you are. If you're watching this, you have to commend me on doing such a good job there and not blasting you, because I know every single day on all your stupid shows, you're mentioning my show at 1 o'clock, thinking that people don't tag me in it, and I watch it back and just want to roast you and come to wherever you live in a little state where the Pacers are and say, actually, are the Pacers even playing anymore? You guys remember Reggie Miller? Speaking about basketball, Kobe Bryant sucks. There was a lot of fake news about it. That actually hit me pretty hard, especially when I found out the one daughter was in the plane. It sucks. And it makes all you guys got to think, wow, that's a horrible transition into stuff. But yeah, that was rough. Anyway, Anthony Fowler said insurance is a real issue. Truckers, freight brokers, and agents. Insurance is an issue. But the problem is how can we expect insurance rates to come down when we have drivers that shouldn't be on the road, when we have when we have schools that are saying, hey, it's super easy, go buy some beat up piece of shit truck and boom, you're a certified business owner. And then they go out, they don't know how to drive because they went to a school for a day and crash their truck. I don't know, but whatever, it's insurance rates aren't going to come down, you know what I mean? They're not going to come down until the the insurance companies stop having all these losses. They're going to keep coming up. The big carriers, you know, I'm going to have a show with Brittany Smith with Insurance Unlimited eventually in the next couple of weeks, because she is the show sponsor for next month, for starting what? On the 1st, she's the show sponsor for the entire month of February. So we'll probably have a lot of insurance related questions and a lot of insurance related shows, because that is one of the big points now, is that people can't go out and get an insurance policy, and then but then they complain about having to do logs and complain about all the stuff, all the factors that play into high insurance rates in the long run. It's kind of crazy. Orlando Landis, or I don't know how you say your name, last name, he on Facebook commented, used truck prices are down. You think it's a good idea to buy now, even though rates are down? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go out and buy a new truck. I know people ridicule me for that, for not buying new trucks and not buying new trailers. Well, because I save money. And I was pretty damn successful when I did it. And you know what? The time that I bought new trucks, I financed brand new straight trucks, and I had too many of them. When shit hit the fan, I could say that now because I'm not censored. I got to mark it explicit on iTunes because I swore. But when shit hits the fans, guess what happens? You don't have any money. You spend it all on some fresh, brand new truck. You know, it is. Teo said, yeah, but cheap trucks to haul cheap freight, good idea. I mean, you buy a used truck, depending on if you buy a reliable truck, you're keeping your costs lower. So your operating cost is lower. Are you able to sustain in a market where rates pay below your operational costs? No, you're going to lose your money. But if you have enough money to float and you can go out and buy a truck when the market is a buyer's market for trucks, you can do that and you can get into the business that way. I'm not a proponent of going and spending $120,000 on a brand new truck and having a truck payment of $3,000 a month and increasing and insurance rates on it are high. I know it's the same thing. If I go out and buy a car, a brand new car, my insurance rates on that brand new car are going to be a lot higher than if I went and bought a same car, but 4 or 5 years earlier. But that's why I'm a proponent of buying used trucks. I've always been more successful with used trucks in terms of reliability than I have been with new ones. But that's my opinion. You know, if I was ever going, the only way I'll ever own another truck is if I win the Powerball or something like that, because it's a waste of money in my behalf. Not because trucking is a bad industry, just because I'm not cut out for it. I want to grow. I want to do too many things. Look at my website. Look at all the stuff that I do and all the businesses I have. I was talking to someone earlier about my taxes and doing as much work as I do every single day. Like owning trucks, it's hard because I lose focus and I do not pay enough attention to running each individual company. Like this morning, I had a conversation with people that work for me and say, hey, productivity wasn't what it needs to be. It needs to come up. Otherwise, you know, there's going to be cuts. Those are just conversations that have to happen. You have to keep a close eye on those type of things. And for me running a trucking company, unless I was in the truck, I got super bored with it super quick, because booking freight, yeah, it's fun, you know, to call on a load board and try to book a load before somebody else and negotiate with the broker. And you could say that you don't like that, but if you're in trucking, that's the reason you do it, is for the negotiations or the arguing. Or I used to love that. I used to love it when a broker would be like, are you kidding? And laugh at me. And I'd be like, F you, and hang up the phone on him really quick. Hell, I like doing it as a carrier. Sometimes just for shits and giggles, especially if I have a load that pays crap, we'll post it without a rate. Not really. We don't do that. That would just be mean. But rates are bad. But as a carrier, I used to yell at brokers all the time when I call them. Shit, as a dispatcher, I used to carriers all the time. As a broker now, you know what I do? I try to post a rate as much as I can, especially if it's a cheap load. That way it avoids some of the conflict. I love it when a carrier calls in and they're like, hey, man, I'm calling about that load you got from Dallas to Houston or whatever. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, see the rate on there, $400. Is that really the rate? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, man, I thought it was a typo. My bad. I can't take that. I could do it for $5,000, which equates to like $10 a mile. Nope. But Orlando on Facebook said rates at some point will come up. Truck prices will also go up. That's absolutely true. truck prices are down because the demand for new trucks are down because rates are down. So that's why, and used truck sales are up, but I think the actual price for the trucks are down. That's why Mack and Navistar and all these different truck manufacturers are all laying off a tremendous amount of people right now, is because of that. Because new truck orders are down. You know, FreightWaves does some fancy graphic, says, "Oh, truck orders are down," which is, yeah, it is whatever. They get their data points from one person or something. But yeah, we know for I'm doing such a good job centering myself today. But yeah, hey, you guys hear that the DAT load board is coming out with their own predictive rating tool, or they're beta testing it now with Knight Swift, I think. That's pretty crazy, because remember how hyped I was about talking about FreightWaves' predictive rating tool? And then I went over there and I saw it. It's still a very cool software. And then I'm no longer part of them. And I'm like, hey, it's still a cool software, but I don't really want to talk about any of that stuff. Well, the DAT load board is coming out with one. And that should be pretty exciting, considering they're the ones that actually supply all the data. I'm guessing. I don't know. But I don't know what other company would possess that amount of data. Plus, they have all the rate views functionality and all that. It's all pretty crazy. So yeah, some of the cool stuff, I'm not sure if it's next week, but I know Craig Bliss and I are going to have a new podcast. We're going to call it Freight Minds. It's where we're going to talk about one topic at a certain time. So we're just going to talk about detention one day, and then we'll give his side, we'll give my side, we'll have some arguments, maybe a call in or two, and then we're just going to end the conversation. Then the next day we'll talk about whether it's a good time. Should you buy a new truck? Should you buy an old truck? Should you be a broker? Should you be a freight agent? So we're just going to focus on one conversation the entire time. And I think it should be a pretty good show, because if you like me, I'm like a super aggressive, super angry, super reserved. What else am I? Super awesome, loudmouth that makes these videos every day, like clockwork. And then Craig is someone that's super scheduled. He's a social media guy. He's business. He's younger. He's still kind of green, but still kind of very smart. So he picks up on things very quick. But I've clashed heads with him. If you guys watch these videos before, I've clashed heads. And so when we were talking, we're like, hey, what is the best way that we can stop some of these bull crap scam artist people, and actually prevent people from getting into the industry unless they're actually ready? What is the way we can do it that we could separate ourselves from these type of people who run these types of programs, good and bad? I'm not saying all programs are bad. I just don't think they're worth what people sell them out to be. Again, I would approve any freight broker program that came with a disclosure on it and said, hey, listen, you're not going to learn enough to learn the business, but we'll provide a groundwork or fundamentals for it or something like that. But if any program out there ever did that, I would rep that program. They wouldn't even have to pay me for advertising. I would rep the shit out of that program, because that's an honest program. That's what every program should be. I don't care if they're walking in, you're paying them $500 to come in, they sit down, they give you some Subway sandwich and say, hey, read this manual. Boom, you're now a certified freight broker, but you're not going to know anything, or you're not going to know enough to actually be a certified freight broker. I would still back them as long as they give the disclosure saying, hey, you're not going to learn enough by taking our course. Because the problem is the people they're preying on are the same people that are getting all these notices and not doing Bach 3 filings themselves. Bach 3 filing is super easy. You just pay a service to do it. But instead, you're paying someone else to do it, and it costs you a bunch of money. The UCR filings, like I said in the beginning of the show, UCR filings look like they're coming back, and the enforcement's going to start May 1st, according to James Lamb, with the SBTC, blah, blah, blah. And full disclosure, I'm not James Land's biggest fan, but, you know, because he runs the SBTC and all that stuff. Nice enough guy. I think he actually cares about the transportation industry and making it better, but I don't necessarily think he does it in the right way. I think if the SBTC is an actual 501c3 organization, then they need to open up their books and be transparent about where the money and all that stuff is going, because I haven't been able to find it registered with the state of Florida. But again, I don't publish anything because I don't want to hurt the industry. I don't want to hurt the people that are actually maybe trying to make a difference. So, but James Lamb on his group, Truckers, whatever, Truckers, his, it's not even a group. I don't know what you would call it. An announcement board, because only he's allowed to post on it. But he posted, and then he just confirmed that the FMCSA voted on UCR and from enforcing UCR filings as of, I think it was May 1st. So do not use the little flyers that come out, because I think James Lamb also owns a DOT company, which that's what they do, is they send out all these filings and these letters. And I think one of his companies or previous business partners or something were fined by the FTC. I know he says it wasn't him, so I'm not saying that, but another company that was affiliated with that was fined. I know the reports are that James Lamb didn't pay any of those fines, and that's fine. But I know he still, I think it's dotauthority.com or something like that. And so he sends out all those notices that you get when you first file for an authority. His company is one of those companies. And so they get you to pay the money for the filings. And they used to be a little, I read the court records, man. Anyone could do it. They're public. Go read the court records. Go read the transcripts of the phone calls and the pictures of the letters that were sent by the DOT authority. They looked real to me. So they would be enough that if I was green and I got this letter and it looked like it was from the government, I'm going to call them and say, hey, how do I fix this? And they say, well, pay me $900. I don't know how much it was, but you know, pay me $150 for a $62 filing. There are companies out there that do that. They're on the same level as these freight broker schools and these dispatching programs. You know, there was a guy that used to post these videos, and he had his dispatcher. He was a dispatcher, and he posted all these videos about dispatching. And then he had a dispatching school, and then he would try to train people on how to dispatch at his school because he couldn't do it himself. I don't know what the gimmick was, but then all that stopped. And so but he had this big extensive truck background, so he jumped into an expedited vehicle, and now he makes videos complaining about DOT regulations, even though he's driving a vehicle that does not have any DOT regulations. You know, I don't know. There's people like that. Those are the people. There's a lady down in Atlanta, I think her name is. I don't know what her name is, but she does these hotel lobby training camps where it seems like every time I've heard of it, and it's been four or five different instances, people pay her several thousand dollars, not like 500, not like some boot camp for $500, or not like a online course for $399.99. They pay her thousands. One person said 25, the other one said 2. To do what? To go check into a hotel, to meet in the lobby because the conference room was double booked, and do a training for 8 hours in the lobby when it was supposed to be an entire conference. That is why there needs to be some, you know, program or something like that. Brittany Smith said, is fear-mongering illegal? It should be. Fear-mongering should be, but unfortunately, there's nothing anyone can do about it, because the only thing they can do is get the FTC involved, and then the FTC will fine you. And then if you don't pay it, but another associated company pays with it, you get to say you never had any part in it. I know I'm probably going to get some silly letter from an attorney, but that's okay. I know everybody does it. I'm also in Florida, by the way. If you are watching, you know who you are. But it is what it is. You know, people do whatever they got to do. Like I said, the truckers... Here's the thing. If all you guys want to go in a group, anyone that actually cares about the trucking industry, here's a shout out for his group. It's called truckers.com Facebook group or something. It's got like 25,000 members, but I think half of them are fake. Whatever. But you're not allowed to post in it. You can only comment. And they talk about different things. It seems now it's a bunch of impeachment garbage about politics, which is... I don't know. I don't know why that has anything to do with being a trucker right now, except for everything it has to do with a trucker. But it shouldn't be anything that a coalition that works to the benefit of truckers and freight brokers should be talking. Benjamin on YouTube said, is the lady you're talking about in Atlanta, is it Trucking Guru? Same nonsense. No, I've never heard of Trucking Guru until I watched some silly video by another one of these guys today. Never heard of it. Looked it up. Don't care. They're all the same. Every single one of them are the same. They're all a bunch of jokers that are trying to make money in whatever way they can. It's the same as everybody else. It's I can't knock the hustle. Okay. You know, there's people out there that have a lot of good information. I'm not saying that they don't. There's a lot of people out there that are teaching these programs that have a good load of information. You're going to learn something, but there's also a lot of people that shouldn't be doing it at all. You know, there's good insurance agents like Brittany Smith with Insurance Unlimited. She's not even an official sponsor yet, but I keep plugging her anyway. And then there are bad insurance like Liz, and that's all I'm going to say. But she is someone that tried to commit insurance fraud on me. And guess what happened to her? She got fired. My claims got all paid by their errors and omissions insurance because I keep immaculate records of everything. There are some shady people out there in every industry. You have people that pretend they know you've got, I mean, it's literally in every industry. It doesn't even matter anymore. Anthony Fowler said, Clayton State University has a freight broker agent course near Atlanta. No, they have the Ed2Go, like affiliates or whatever. And I think those are all part of the Brook transportation industry, which is probably the only freight broker school that you don't hear a lot of negative comments about. There's not a single state college, state university, city college, trade program, any college program that I've ever found that teaches how to be a freight broker. It like in an actual course. The ones that you're seeing are all part of those Ed2Go like programs that you can't use financial aid for, which is sad, but because it's an industry that we could get more people in and get rid of the bad apples. You know, we have community colleges that teach people how to truck and how to drive truck and talk about a bit owning businesses and stuff like that, but they don't expand on the being a freight broker or logistician or anything like that. So again, this week's going to be different. So tomorrow I'm going to have a live video at 2:00. Thursday, I'm not going to have a live video because I'm going to be driving up to Atlanta. I may do a video at night because I'll be in a hotel room and I won't be here. And then my kids won't be running around. So I may go live Thursday night once I get up to Atlanta. Friday all day long, I'm going to be immersing myself in Happy Trucking's Freight New Year or something. Happy Trucking. I don't know what. Happy Trucking New Year or something like that. It's at OTR. There's a bunch of keynote speakers and a bunch of contests and all that stuff. And so I got invited up there. So I'm going to go check that out in Atlanta. And then after that, as soon as that ends at 4:00, jumping in my car, trying to beat traffic and get myself home. And then Saturday, I'll keep putting out articles. And so I've got one more scheduled one for tomorrow. I will not have a live video at 2:00 on Thursday or Friday. I am hoping to record some content when I'm at this convention. Otherwise, a bunch of pictures. I'll probably have a bunch of different articles on things that I heard and talked about. And I'll try to go live Thursday night. So it'll probably be late. It'll be like 7 or 8 o'clock Eastern time, maybe even later, where I will talk about whatever people want to talk about at that point. As always, if you've never watched my show before, if you're watching this for the first time because someone shared it on social media and you really like it and you want to hear about all the other cool content that I have, go to freightbrokerlive.com and you could find out more about it. Like the page, subscribe. Also, my podcasts are available on iTunes, Google Play, everywhere else podcasts are heard. I have a Roku channel, so you could type in Freight Broker Live on Roku on your house and boom, guess what you'll see? This guy in this picture. It's awesome. And that's another thing. So, and whoever sponsors my show every single month, boom, your logo, which will be right around there. Well, down there somewhere. That will be Don said, I just watched a 5-month video thinking it was like, yeah, I know I got to put a spacer in there. So if you're watching on my website, it has the live video right now, and then right below, it's got a really old video. I just made a snorty noise with very little room in between it. So I got to fix that. It actually does say catch up on demand episodes. But yeah, this is a new video right here. But as always, if you're listening to this now, I want all 38 of you to go to iTunes in like 2 hours and download this podcast. I don't care if you delete it after, but I want to rank high on the charts. I want to be the number one freight talk show. And I am, and then it goes away. And then I am, and then it goes away. So I want to stay because I'm still like top 50 in India for business news. Still don't get that. Don said I was wearing the same shirt. Yeah, that happens too. So I've got like six shirts that fit me now because I keep growing. So I got to get more shirts. I'm up to 3XL now. I'm too damn big. Got to get more shirts. It's annoying. Oh, by the way, my sponsor, if you're watching this, you know who you are. Most of my sponsors send me t-shirts that are 3XL and that are super cool. All right. I'm just kidding. Most of them don't. All right. Anyway, my name is Steve. This was Frey Broke Alive. It's a pleasure to meet you. Make sure you download my podcast. Make sure you tune in every single day that I make shows. Make sure you have fun. Try to enjoy the freight game. It's fun if you actually know what you're doing. See you later. Bye.